The title for tonight's sermon, you can flight that if it's close by. Yes, people with a taste for life. But I just put in the new there before I get sued by Spur. Who's ever had a burger at Spur? Yes. Who's the people that are full of a taste for life? Anybody in here? Yes. Now, I wasn't up and walking the streets, but I did wake up one morning this week where clearly the Spirit dropped in my spirit, people with a taste for life. And no, I didn't have a steak for breakfast. But it was just one of those, you're still asleep, but it was just like this prodding, and you're like, what was that? And I'm like, okay, cool, the Lord is up to something. And it just confirmed a scripture that I was meditating on. But I also do know, just quickly, because we're inclusive to a degree, and we're loving to a degree, I also know for the vegans, and for, Peter's not here, but that one's for Peter and the rest of the vegans. So yeah! So people with a taste for life. I should have done that. It's really horrible that you keep on stealing the food of the animals. But anyway, I don't have time to stick to that. But just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, we are a people with a taste for celery. No, we're not. We're just joking. So the scripture that gripped my heart, and I believe so much of what we heard tonight, the Spirit is prodding, and even with the offering of last week, the message, the offering of tonight, the intercession, is that the Lord is, again, reminding us of something that is so important. So important when the year... Guys, it is May. In a couple of days, it is June, the middle of this year. Is it just me getting old, or is it just crazy? And so we need to constantly take tabs, take stock, have moments like this with the Lord. In fact, we should live from moments of worship like this much more. But anyway, so the scripture that really tugged on my heart, I was reading, and I thought it was just for myself, but I realized it is applicable to all of us. So let's jump into it. It's Psalm 34. It's one of my favorites, and we're just going to cover half of it tonight. We're going to get to that beautiful verse that you all know, but that is so important in our Christian walk and in our day-to-day. So let's quickly get into it. I will praise the Lord at all times. Thank you, Pietri and team. That's exactly where you led us to tonight in starting off. His praise will always be on my lips. Exactly what we did. I will boast in the Lord. That's what we did. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord. I got up in the morning. It was still dark, and I took to the road, and I talked to God, even though my neighbors could hear me. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant with joy. I'm feeling much better than I felt a couple of hours ago. I don't know about you. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. And here it is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. You can go to the next slide. It's exactly the same, but this is a couple of pointers. I can't stand still on every single one of them, but so much of what tonight is happening here is just echoed in Scripture. We are actually echoing Scripture, I should rather say. But ultimately, we need to be people that taste the things of God, not just talk about the things of God, not just mimic the things of God. It needs to be pretty real. And so if real is talking aloud to yourself in the middle of the morning on the street, then that is it. If it is dancing again, it is it. If it's going into free worship, it is it. If it is with joining the band and playing your violin for the Lord and sensing and tasting His life, then that is it. But we need to be a people that taste. A Spur people. That's how you're going to remember it. Whenever you see Spur, you're going to remember this. Let's quickly jump into the scripture again, but let us just read through it slowly. Let it speak to your heart. I will praise the Lord at all times. There's a resolve here. It's a decision. Karen Dupree is next door with the Cub Youth, but I said to her way back, she went through crazy things in her life. But one thing I can say about Karen, she's got a resolve. She's decided she's following God. if it's going like that or it's going like this, it's just something, she's just following the Lord. And with some people, you just meet them, you sit them down with a coffee, you just know they are following the Lord. In and out of season, they are following the Lord. And I see this resolve in the psalm. I will praise the Lord at all times. And some of us in the seasons we might face, the tests you might have, maybe whatever you're going through, need to remind yourself of the resolve of giving your life to Christ. Because praise might not come that easily. His praise will always be on my lips. A matter of thankfulness. As we sang Amazing Grace last week, what did we do? We stopped and said, what is Amazing Grace? What actually do you feel is grace in your life? And we could mention the things that we see as grace of God. That is so much worth more if we just stop and say, I'm thankful for this and the following 600 things that the Lord has done for me. Moving on, verse 2. I will boast in the Lord. In who shall we boast, Christians? Yes, in Jesus. We are not called to boast in other stuff. Not even if your rugby team did a good job. You are not to boast. You are to have humble pie with everybody else. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. The humble will hear and be glad. Who wants to hear from the Lord? Who wants to hear His voice? It starts off with humility. By the way, the heading to this particular scripture in the Holmans is, the Lord delivers the righteous. Remember that. The Lord delivers not everybody. Guys, the Lord does not deliver everybody. The Lord delivers the righteous. Let's move on. The humble will hear and be glad. Verse 3, proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's exactly what Peter and the team did. That's exactly what came from our innermost being. It's just to exalt who He is again. Because it's not as if He needs to hear it. We need to hear it again. It washes us clean. We walk out of here with a totally different picture of God, sometimes than what we come in with. Anybody had that experience? Anybody has? Otherwise, we need to be looking for another church. Yeah? No. But the thing is, if you come downcast and if you've not prepared your heart, you come a bit cold. I've mentioned before, like you rock up at a Bring and Braai with your meat still frosted. Dis gefries. Jy het nog nie gedefrost nie. Dis moeilik om te braai. And sometimes we rock up in worship and we've not spent enough time with the Lord this week. We've not been in the Word. And it's like getting it out of the fridge and you can definitely not braai now. You're going to struggle. You're going to make a bit of a mess. And so when we come into His presence, He allows that softening to happen. Sorry about the meat revelation once again. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He answered me. This is so important. Don't want to keep on repeating the same thing, but He has sought the Lord. If you ultimately want to taste, guess what? You need to seek. If you want to have a nice dinner, you want to have some good food, there's preparation in that. If you are lucky enough to go to a good restaurant, you probably need to book a table well in advance. Make sure you've got the money to pay. Phone them up and you need to seek it out. How much more is it with God Himself in seeking? And He constantly wants to be with us. It is not as if He's sitting way back and holding Himself back. No, He so desperately wants to be with us that He gave His Son. But there is a seeking, there is an asking, there is having honest conversation, there is a pitching from our sides that are necessary, and so we need to seek. And He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. There's an absolute adoration that you see here. Those who look to Him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. Look at the faith. They look to Him constantly. Can we say that in this past week, have we looked to the Lord constantly? Have we been a people of faith constantly? It's not to be a harsh or hard word. It's just to take stock and say, man, I could actually live in so much more of the Lord. I can have so much more of His grace. I can have so much more of His Spirit and His Word made manifest in my life. But have I truly walked by faith this week? And so the psalmist again here challenges my heart and he says, do I constantly look to Him? You are here, so praise God. This is a move of faith. You are here looking to Him. Verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. Is this literally being poor per se? Or is this also poor in spirit? It's also being poor in spirit. Again, we can't be haughty and prideful and arrogant thinking that we're going to taste the Lord. No, we're not. You're going to taste other stuff. So if I think I'm the bee's knees because of what I wear or what I drive or where I live or what I earn or what I look like on social media, if that is what I'm eating and tasting and getting my satisfaction from, I'm not going to taste the Lord. I need a palate cleanser of humility. I need a palate cleanser of repentance before I can be righteous to taste Christ. Do we hear each other? And so sometimes it's like, yo, the Lord wasn't there. Maybe you weren't there. Or maybe the idol that I brought in with me was there that I've been eating and chowing on the whole time. The poor man, he had a reality check and saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Tonight again, the Lord, and you might come and try, really, try it out. There's something on this floor. If you come lie down on this floor, there's something here. Everybody's like, oh, ek het gewonder oor hierdie lot mense. But every time the Lord convicts me in worship to lie down, I kind of like, is this me, is it you? But then when I do lie down, the Lord really does something. It's maybe just a lower posture, I don't know what. Maybe I'm tired, I looked after the kids the whole weekend. But anyway, the Lord really did something in my life again tonight. But are we willing to be humble? Are we willing to do as He calls us to do and take those postures? Do a reality check and realize, man, I'm so lost without you. I'm so lost without you. The angel of the Lord, who wants to be secure and safe? Anybody here? Anybody live in South Africa? Great. You want to be secure and safe, both physically, emotionally, spiritually. But here's the thing, the angel of the Lord encamps. The security of God, the security God, the ADT of the Lord operates where the fear of God is. The fear of the Lord. And then it comes, taste and see. But I believe there's a progression here. There's a couple of things that happens in the psalm. It's not just, let's nitpick this one verse, take it, and it's like, I just want to taste God. Man, God is good, God is good. I want to taste Him, but there's no righteousness. There's no humility. There's no appraisal. There's no thankfulness. There's not been a decision in my heart. I've been eating a bunch of other things, and I'm like, Lord, I want you as well on my plate. We're not in India. We can't have so many things. This is not a buffet. We're going to eat Christ, the bread, and that is it, but it's the best. We don't have a buffet to choose from of gods and idols and things. We have the bread of life, and that is it, but it's brilliant. Nothing is better. Nothing compares, nothing sustains, and nothing is as good as Him Himself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. So very simply, what we've been going on for a couple of weeks is this expectations that we do have and the faith that we do carry in our heart, is it real? And is the goodness of God a reality in your life? Maybe by the show of hands, is the goodness of God a reality in your life? Anybody? Who's ever been in a season where there's a question mark about the goodness of God? I'm speaking emotionally. I'm not thinking theologically, Bible. We're going to talk about that now. But yes, of course. Of course, there's moments. And we need to be careful not to jump into those places where the goodness of God is not an absolute reality. Where we need to taste and experience Him. That is what is important. So quickly, there's two things. The goodness of God and then tasting and seeing. The goodness of God, and the King James says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. He says, oh, taste. Hallelujah. Because here's the thing, man. I would love my daughters to have a cooking relationship with the Lord. I would love all of you to have a cooking on fire daily relationship with the Lord. But you cannot live on my tasting. And I cannot live on your tasting. That testimony that George shared just now, it's going to stay with me. That's a beautiful picture of seeking, of quieting your own life and seeking God in a different way and then meeting with God. But it's His. I can't live off His intimacy with the Lord. Just as much as we can't live off each other's intimacy, it's going to get all freaky in building good relationships and connections. I need my own intimacy with God. I need to taste. And I cannot bank on you tasting the whole time. And likewise with my kids, I forever and a day can try to show them, can try to lead them, can take them to places where it might happen. But then I need to pray, Lord, may they taste. May they taste. May they taste, Lord. Ek kan myself stuff. Ek kan lekker eet aan die Here. I can enjoy it. I can have a taste for life. And they might see and then they might say, can I have a bite? But they need to take a bite for themselves. They need to taste themselves and likewise for us. So the note here I quickly made, I think it's on there. Yes, it's on there. Please do not hear what I'm not saying tonight. The goodness of God is set. It is done. It is not for us to evaluate. This is not what I'm saying. We are not to evaluate the goodness of God. Amen? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Not taste, spoeg uit, slikkie wijn. No, you're not judging. The thing is, if you taste Him, you're going to realize the fact of the matter is He is good. So our theology is not based on our tasting and experience. That is not our theology. Our theology is based upon the Word of God. And the Word of God is very clear. He is a good God. So when the fig tree does not blossom and does not produce fruit, then God is still good. It is the rock. It is the truth. It is the Logos. And I think we are on the same page. So our theology is not based on our feelings and experience, but feelings and experiences is important. That is so important. But we trust to experience. So, quickly on the goodness of God, I'm not going to go into these verses. Otherwise, we're not going to get through everything. But you can go to the next slide, please. We need to go to Scripture and realize that God is good. And we need to know that He is good in spite of the fact that it might not feel that way sometimes. But as we have faith and as we decide, we also what? Hunt Him down for experiences. We also go after the Lord hard so that we may experience His presence and experience that goodness. Our life is filled with testimony of His goodness, of new life in so many areas at the moment. I'm so thankful when I had to go sit down and write down all of the things that I've seen in our lives and many of your lives because it's impacting ours. I've just seen how God is faithful towards His Word. But I start in the Word of God. I start in the Word of God. I make that my own. And then I go from there and I say, Lord, but I want to taste and experience that because that helps our relationship, Lord. If I can experience the Lord for real, if I can hear His voice for real, if He touches my life like we've heard tonight in many ways, it's just so much easier to build relationship. And so that is why we need to hunt down those moments. So God alone is good. You know, Jesus said, they said, Rabbi, for you are good. And He said, no man is good. There's one who's good. Jesus didn't not even refer to Himself as good. He said, only God is good. All that God is and does is good. And for some of us, you might have to meditate. You've been brought up in such rough environment. You've had it so tough. Your life has been such a mess because of some of your sin, but other people. So you need to go meditate on this Word and realize that God is good. Because I believe if people really walk around with the conviction that God is good, all of life makes sense. If you struggle and you don't believe God is good, you're going to struggle to make sense of life, especially as a Christian. Because it doesn't always feel good. Life doesn't always feel easy. But if you know that you're a son or a daughter of God, identity settled, the goodness of God is settled, then tasting and seeing and eating and enjoying comes so much more natural. Does this make sense? I mean, let's move to the next one. God is good to everyone. Whoa. God is good to everyone. Some of us, your butt. So the agnostics and the atheists might come up with, what about the guy in Sudan, and etc. And I believe there's biblical answers for all of that. But here's the thing. God is good. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. Everything God made was good. God saw all the things He made in Genesis and then He said what? It is good. God has goodness stored up for us. Do you still believe that God has goodness stored up for you? Amen. Everything from God is good. That's the last one in Timothy. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. I also like Romans 8, 8:28, that says, all things work out for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Again, even if the tough stuff happens, if you allow Him, if you are called and you love Him, He will even work that out. I don't care what your past is. So here's the thing. God is a good Father, and we need to see that. And life only makes sense from that place. And then we move into a tasting, because our Christianity needs tasting. Your Christian walk needs experience. Do you agree, or should you go work through that first? Your Christianity needs to have experience. We did Bible school, Holy Spirit, the last 2 weeks. That's a whole lot of experience right there through the Holy Spirit, the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. That is all experiential things based upon truth and the goodness of God, and that is for us. If you've not experienced the Lord for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, you are in deep trouble. Just as much as a marriage or a good friendship is in deep trouble if there's no encounter, no connection, no intimacy. Deep, deep trouble. That is not the way we've been called. That is not what we've been called for. We are to be a people that taste and see that the Lord is good. So our theology should be led to encounter. It is not for encounter. It's not based on encounter. Retief, my pastor got goose flesh when I said to him that I'm moving to Vietnam, so I need to move to Vietnam. No, no, no. But if the Lord has spoken, it was affirmed. And by the way, we had a good meeting with the Holy Spirit because of it. It's an added bonus. But there's a reality. My life changed because of experiencing the presence of God, the real personhood of the Lord, not ideas, etc. Henry T. Blackberry says the following. He says, there is a world of a difference between knowing something to be true in your head and experiencing the reality in your life. There's one thing to know that something is true, and we believe it, and we have been believing it for a number of years, but you have not been experiencing any of it. We need to see people healed. We need to see marriages restored. We need to see souls saved. We need to see friends restored to unity and peace. We need to see demons cast out. Amen? Amen. Everybody said, amen? As iemand nou langs jou neer sê, kom sê vir my. Joking. But we need to see what we see in the Word happen in our midst. And we need to make sure that we allow the Lord to do so. So, I've got a couple of testimonies just of what we've seen lately in our life. And I don't have time for it, but even in just where I was, I think sometimes I meet up with old friends from varsity, and they're like, what the heck? What did the Lord do? I think maybe Lisani can add a couple of interesting stories to it. Please don't go there, Lisani, not now. But the thing is that God does a miraculous thing, a turnaround in everybody's life, and He can do that if you allow Him to do so. But not only a salvation story, every part of your life, albeit your home, your finance, your marriage, your friendships, your intimacy, your small group, your Bible knowledge, your revelation, every single part, if allowed by you, the Lord can turn and He can bring and restore many things of life. So how do we taste, actually? How do we taste? There's two simple ones that I've mentioned again in the same scripture. I just read through various translations, but I like the way they put this. It's very simply, by experiencing, you will see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who has faith in Him. By experiencing. And we've been hammering this point. You need to experience Him. Look here, there might be a moment where you're going through a tough time, and you come to church, you worship, but you just don't sense that connection. You get into the Word daily, and you're just like, something is wrong. That's why we are fellow believers. And then you say to somebody, what is cooking? Please pray with me. What is hindering me from really experiencing the Lord's presence, hearing His voice, and then tangibly seeing something come true? Who would love their prayers to come true? Their God-given prayers. Yes. That is what it's supposed to do if we pray in a line with His will. And so we want to see people whose prayers are being answered. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. That is a hard statement, but that's something I need to say to my children. Find for yourself out how good the Lord is. They have to. Because that alone is sustainable. That alone is sustainable if you've truly tasted. So what is tasting? We know by now. I think we've all tasted one or two things in our life before. Perceive or have experience of. You're not talking a head thing about God to other people, but you have literally experienced how He comes through, how He provides. The other day, Yuri gave me a word about, just a goudpot, and how the Lord gave me a word from that, and He just encouraged me. And then I think it was right the next day, the Lord blessed us with exactly what we needed last month, and it echoed exactly what He was praying. And not only did that stir us and bless us, but I could then say to him, hey, Yuri, exactly what you pray happened, and this is the way in which it manifested, the goodness of God. Very simple, but very profound, and it stirred my heart, and maybe it stirred his heart. Did it stir your heart, Yuri? It stirred it. So you need to get Yuri to pray for you. That man's he's going places. It's really amazing. That's one of many testimonies that we have together of praying for something and seeing how the Lord comes through. So quickly, how do we taste and see? How do we position ourselves? We saw it in Scripture. We do the following. We walk in righteousness. We walk in righteousness. You see, everything that I share tonight is about Jesus. You cannot taste without Jesus. You cannot be righteous without Jesus. Be righteous. How am I righteous? By doing the right thing? No. By having faith in Christ and from His grace, yes, walking in the right thing that He anoints me for, helps me for. But I cannot, sometimes people want to hear from the Lord, but they're not walking in righteousness. They're not in right standing with the Lord. And so maybe that's for some of us. I'm not saying that's for all of us, definitely not. But righteousness is the key. This is how the Lord delivers the righteous, you read there at the top of this psalm. For the righteous will taste and know that the Lord is good. The atheist will not. A miracle can happen right here in front of a Pharisee. She's not a Pharisee. But it can happen right here in front of a Pharisee. And they cannot see Jesus because they are not walking in righteousness. They cannot rejoice with a paralyzed hand, the man with a paralyzed hand. They cannot rejoice for him, for he was healed on the Sabbath. I explained it to my kids this week. They couldn't understand it. They're like, what? These guys could have no joy. They could not see Christ or the miracle because of the hardness of their hearts and the unrighteous place in which they were standing. So if you remember anything tonight, if you want to taste and know, if you want to have good experiences with the Lord, it's not going to a different concert or going to that anointed guy or this, that, or the other. It is walking in righteousness and you will experience God. That's where He is. He is where His people with righteousness and faith in Christ obey Him and get together. Second thing is, we praise Him, you be thankful, exactly like we did tonight. You seek Him out. And here's the thing, you don't stop for anything less than what you see in the Word. Don't settle. If you come here and you walk out and you're thirsty and hungry, do not settle. Go home, close your door, go with your face on the floor, put on worship and say, Lord, I want to meet with You. I want to taste You. I didn't taste You at church, but I want to taste You in my living room. I want to taste You in my bedroom. Lord, I want to taste You. You walk down the street in the middle of the night. You do what you do, but you seek Him and you don't stop until you see what you see in the Word. Not what I say or PT say, but what you see in the Word. Jesus often went aside up the mountain, often, Jesus Himself often up the mountain to what? To experience His Father again. To have intimacy, to taste again of His Father, because what happens on earth is hectic. But what happens up there, the goodness and the character of God is perfect. And we need to run on that petrol. You need to give it time. I'm convicted of this. When I was going through this list this afternoon, I went back and I put an alarm on my watch for tomorrow morning to get up earlier. Because it's one thing to preach it and not live it. Because lately I've seen how the enemy is trying to suffocate my time in the morning with the Lord. It's there, but it's not as it's supposed to be. So then I need to make a commitment with my heart to get up earlier if I really want to be with my God. Yes, but if you really want to be with your God, and if he's really God, then everything else waits, or we make space. And I'm not coming from a high and lofty place. I am convicted about this, but you need to make time. If you tell a friend, man, you're a good friend, but you never spend time with him, guess what? It's a great acquaintance. Goed om jou te ken, yeah. That's about it. Moving on quickly, be humble, we know by now. Be real and honest. Be real and honest of where you're at. Lord, I'm not experiencing you. Lord, I'm not seeing prayers being answered. Lord, I'm still sick after how many years? Be honest. Don't stay there, but have an honest conversation. Start with an honest conversation. Hoe gaan dit regtig met jou? As we heard. Be honest. That helps a lot. Hunger for it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And lastly, I think also what we heard. What do you want me to do for you? As that man was crying out for Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Are you willing to ask the Father? Say, Father, I want to experience your presence. I want to experience you at work. Yes, I do experience you at church, or I experience you at small group, or when my small group leaders prophesy over me. Yes, I experience you, but I don't experience you at all at work. I don't see you at my home, Lord. I want that. Ask. Say, Lord, I want to fellowship and I want to walk with you, because I want to be a person full of life. I'm going to skip two of those verses, but ultimately, we don't want to be a people holding on to a form of godliness but denying the power of the Lord. We want to be a people that actually taste life and discern well if we are walking in the things of God, the life-giving things of God. You know, John 6:63, one of my favorites, the Spirit gives life, the flesh does not help at all. So maybe in the minus 3 minutes that we've got left, I want us just to quiet down our hearts and maybe bring to the Lord where we eat and where we taste, but it's not leading to life. What are the things that we are snacking on and that we are eating that is actually just creating more of a hunger, more of a need in us than those things that are life-giving? And then saying, Lord, I want to be a person that tastes you and experiences you, and I want more of those things that lead to life in my life, Lord. You can go to the next slide. The one after that, sorry. Thank you, there you go. The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are full of Spirit and life. So just with our eyes closed, let's just trust that the Lord will highlight things now. Those things that are good for us, that we may eat, that we can experience his fellowship and experience his goodness, the fruit and the gifts of his Spirit, the truth of his word, those things that sustain and fills us up. And yet, on the other side, those things that actually just wears us down, and clogs our hearts and our minds. And so, God, thank you that we can just take this moment and ask Holy Spirit, welcome you afresh just into our lives to show us what are the things. As Juan said, that we need to repent, that we can let go of certain things, but those that are life-giving, life-sustaining, and life-growing, that we will have more of that we can truly be a people with a taste of Zoe life, Holy Spirit life, those things that are God-breathed, those things that are eternal, those things that lead to God encounters and experiences, not only for us, but that we can love and lead others to experience you, that you are real, that you are good, that you are faithful, and that you are Emmanuel with us daily. That you answer prayers, that you are a miracle worker, that you heal, that you restore, that you redeem, that you flow and that you uplift, and that you bring breakthrough and that you cast down. That we may know the real God and know him and his working in our lives. Maybe if there's something that comes up, just lay it down and say, Lord, here it is. This is not beneficial. This is not good. And maybe he convicts you of places where you need to pick it up in your time spent with him, your time in his word, your time in prayer, Maybe he convicts you of a place where there's life-giving waters for you for the season that you've been missing out on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for your word, lastly, that is clear that you are good. We confess as a church that you are a good God, you're a good Father, that you are faithful, and yet you only have good for us as your children and for us as a church community and for our children, the next generation. You only have good in store for us. You only have good plans. That is who you are. Thank you, Father. But we also pray, Lord, that we will be a people not of talk, but of taste. And what we share will not be one of talk, but of taste. Thank you for the testimonies that we carry, but we pray for so many more. We pray for so many more. So many more in Jesus' name. Lord, have your way. Have your way this week and let your kingdom come, Lord, and we pray for tasting moments. Maybe you want to just lastly put out your faith for one encounter with Jesus. Maybe that's many for you or a lot for you. Maybe one encounter this week with Jesus, or maybe three. But just say, Lord, I want to encounter you, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you that we may encounter you this week in Jesus' name. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want some prayer, maybe you really struggle and you feel you need to attend to it tonight, you're more than welcome to come afterwards and come for prayer. Otherwise, have an amazing week, but don't let the moment flight you by and just don't go on in the same motion that you might have been. Let's contend for that the Lord has for us. So please come for prayer, or otherwise grab a coffee and have a lucky week. God bless.